I've been looking forward to this all week. I literally have been looking forward to Todd Goodman from Timberline Fisheries all week coming in the studio. Gosh, first off, it's good to see you, man.
Good to see you as well.
Well, the only time I see you on your Facebook page is your hairline. So
that's all that matters. It's right there.
Because you're working out, you know, out. Timberline Fisheries, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to categorize this, and I'm hoping you can help me. One of the great unknown industries of Southern Illinois would be my internal news person heading. The great jobs that exist there, the number of jobs that exist there. I mean, that's kind of how I define Timberline Fisheries.
Right.
But then I find out, you know, oh, sure, people know about Pepsi. Sure, the guys are at Black Diamond, Harley Davidson, they're in the lobby. They know about them.
Right.
But ask them about Timberline Fisheries, and you see this blank look on people's face.
That's true. But that goes all the way back to the beginning, because we started out as a wholesale house. And then, you know, 99% of our customers are not within, you know, 250 miles of here.
Right.
So that's why, I think.
Cause well, you think about it, it's like icing. I mean, you know, they're out there making a moonroof, but it goes on a car somewhere else. You don't think about it when you're at the car lot.
True. That's very true. And so as a result, people don't really know we're there, and they don't know what we do. And that's fair, because I don't know of a lot of manufacturing jobs that I don't necessarily have any connection to. So That's why our efforts.
You know, it's interesting because I have this internal vocabulary, right? And it's usually image of how I define things. And I always think about Timberline Fisheries beginning as a refrigerator turned on its back, filled with dirt and worms in it, and then it all started from there. That's how I think about your beginning. Your
Pretty
dad's
much.
Beginning, more specifically.
My dad started as a pay fishing lake in Marion, yeah, right opposite Cracker Barrel in Marion, that barrow pond there. It was a, you would come and fish and pay
by the pound.
Pay by the pound. The problem was he couldn't find bait, so he started being a bait distributor, and that's when we moved out to my great-grandmother's dairy farm, where we're located now.
How many square feet are under a roof out there now?
I wish I knew that answer. My marketing guy would be able to answer
it's
that.
Big.
I know. Yeah, it's about 500,000, but I don't know. There are 50-odd buildings there, but...
And you've been adding buildings since the first time you and I were in the studio. You've added a number of buildings since then. You've grown a lot since the first time you were in the studio about this.
We have. Got two going up right now, as a matter of fact.
All right. So how many different kinds of insects and bugs are grown at Timberline Fisheries?
It's got to be at least a dozen. I don't think
crickets,
of it that way.
Mealworms?
Crickets, mealworms, flightless fruit flies. We do superworms, giant mealworms. We do... hornworms now, the ones that get on your tomatoes at home.
Right. All those ugly things.
We do grow those, yeah, because...
That's the thing that Grandma and Granddad and I stuck our hands down in a box of seven and threw it on the tomatoes to stop.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. But because they're a large insect, it's great for animals that need larger food.
All right. So here's the thing. From Timberline Fisheries in Marion to literally all around the world, you feed... reptiles, special line pets in private collectors, zoos.
All of those things, yeah. Rescue facilities, I mean, it's any exotic animal, basically. So reptiles, birds, monkeys, they use crickets as enrichments in the ape enclosures, and that's primarily
A nutritional vitamin, basically, that's a bug.
That they have to chase down. That's
right.
The idea. It gives them activity when they would normally
be docile.
And more
natural, I suppose, to their...
Right. Correct.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
They, as I jokingly say, we have betta bugs, which are flightless fruit flies that you sprinkle on the top of the water of a betta fish. Because that's their natural food. There are no wild pellets. There are no wild flakes.
Right.
They actually eat insects instinctively.
And so I guess that in particular when it comes to zoos, and you and I have seen this over our lifespans, that we have a deeper appreciation for Mother Nature in this respect now.
Oh,
that it's
yes.
Not, you know, because I can remember when we were raising pheasants and quail, you just went down to the store and you got the bird food, the pheasant food and the
right.
Quail food, because they had to have certain nutrients for the pheasants in particular. That's why we don't have them here. And then you just did it. But now we handle them. We try to get them a longer lifespans that keep them looking more attractive, a happier existence by working within their expectations of what food is.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and actually we've learned how to feed them better. And here's the upside of a lot of this stuff. Not only are they healthier, they reproduce better. But in reality, there are a lot of reptiles and things that are in the wild that without the captive husbandry of them would likely be gone from the earth already.
Why? That's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of that goes on.
And that act of preserving a species, that you play a role in that. That's got to be fun for you.
It is. I mean, listen, I've got a dream job. I get to go hang around with a unique set of ultimate customers and a unique set of people all around the country. And it's different than Southern Illinois, but that's part of the beauty.
Right.
You get to see what's going on.
And the other thing that I have noticed about you, it's not like, okay, now we can grow earthworms and now we can grow flightless fruit flies. You've never seemed to have stopped doing additional research, one, on what you can feed your crop of insects to make them better feed for the reptiles or monkeys that use them, and you have gotten exceedingly scientific about this.
True.
You know, when you start looking at a new line called Vita Bugs with vitamin E, vitamin A, beta-carotene, omega-6, omega-3 fatty acids, you are working on the, and there's like several different levels, and then I started reading more about this where when you're worried about the nutritional needs of an animal, these bugs were dusted, and the nutrients were put on the outside. Well, how many people have not seen on the Nature Channel somewhere a bug cleaning itself?
Yeah, it takes about 60 seconds for a cricket to groom the dust off of it, and with it all of the nutrients. And that was better than not doing it at all. But if you can give it to them that more looks nutritionally akin to an insect that would be found in the wild, then it's really better for the animals.
All right. Since I'm familiar with crickets, all right, using crickets and used to grow them a little bit on myself at home in Harrisburg. We had worms and we grew crickets for the same reason you did, except on a much smaller scale.
Right.
All right, so you had this white cardboard box with this fine screen on top of it, and it made noises. All right, it looked about the size of a briefcase.
All right,
now let's take that example that I've got in people's minds now, and it's at Timberline Fisheries. How does it get to Germany?
Well... So we grow them in rather large boxes, you know, let's call it 5 feet by 3 feet. It's the best way to describe it. But so we're getting ready. Let's say I've got a million that need to go to some location, and we would take a number of those boxes out. The way we grow them, they're all the same size in the boxes because they're done by age. So we essentially would just shake them off of those, collect them, and put them in a volume measure, and 1,000 or 2,000 goes in a box, depending on size. And then you put multiple boxes together, and we either take them to the airport or we put them on UPS and ship them overnight.
All right. Airport or UPS out.
Right.
So that means, and here's the interesting thing that people very often forget about this business, there is a very tight parameter for their ongoing existence.
Yes.
They have to be there within a certain length of time,
yep,
and they have to be kept within certain temperatures. This is very important, and big temperature changes can hurt, and they have to be able to eat during the time that they're traveling X number of days.
Right.
How do you manage that?
Well, everything we ship is delivered the next day. So, for instance, the... 5 tractor trailer loads that left yesterday, everything in that will be delivered by 10:30 local time.
Wow.
So that's from New York to California. And for the entire time, from the time we harvest them and take them in our shipping room, they're shipped, they're put on a UPS truck that is a temperature controlled truck, they're shipped to Louisville, they're offloaded at midnight, they're put into a system where they're sorted that is temperature controlled, and then they're put on a plane. And believe it or not, what the pilot feels is what the bugs feel. So they are temperature controlled up until the time the plane lands and gets opened, and they're delivered within a couple of hours or two or three of the time they land in the destination city.
You know, because what I understand is, Todd, and let's take a look at this as the way the new world exists. Once upon a time, when you and I went to a grocery store or a hardware store, or there was a room in the back that was the stock room.
Right.
Can't really do this with this bug.
Correct.
And now, you know, and the Ford F-150 is a good example. They had a supplier fire. They stopped production. And thankfully, they had 84 days supply. But in many places in the world, if that supplier stops, production stops, everything stops. And with you, animals die when they don't get food on time. So
Correct.
You have to have this constant chain of deliveries mm-hmm. that meet an expectation. Literally a tentacle reaching out, tentacles reaching out from Marion all around the world to get a live insect to its source, its pet.
Correct.
and you can't say, okay, well, we'll just put the crickets in the back room for 4 weeks and they'll wait.
It doesn't work that way.
You've got to keep that constantly going. And so there's a zoo curator somewhere in the world today that is waiting for a box from Marion, Illinois.
Notwithstanding that, he is not only waiting on a box, he is waiting on a custom size, perhaps, or a very specific size. I mean, an adult cricket is an inch long, and we sell 10 sizes from that inch all the
really?
Way down. But he may be hatching a series of reptiles or a certain reptile that they've been trying to grow for 10 years that they finally got to hatch, and they need this food, specific size food, and they've got to have it this morning. And that's where we fit in. That's why we consider ourselves an important cog in that husbandry wheel.
No, I do too.
We take it very seriously. We wring our hands whenever things might prevent us from not making that happen.
Because I read this off you ever watched The Big Bang Theory?
I have seen it, yes.
And at the end, the guy who writes that show has a vanity card, and he gives it a thought. And about 2 weeks ago, there was one of the vanity cards that says, "I don't know what my expectation is until it's not met."
That's not bad for our society right now, because that's kind of where we are.
And there is that expectation yeah. with you all the time, but you've created that, you've fostered that, you've ensured that, and I know you well enough to know personally that you take this very personally. It's not like, oh, well, 1,000 bugs died, too bad.
No.
That's not how you operate. Never has.
No, nor the people that I've got. I've got some extremely good people that understand that, too.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. How many people do you have employed now at Timberline Fisheries in Marion?
About 160.
And that doesn't count the number of people that are dependent on your company because they're part of your transportation chain.
Oh, no, not at all. Because
pilots?
Let's put it this way. All the way up to the president of UPS, they know who we are because they understand our specific needs. So, yeah, I mean, we have a warehouse in St. Louis that is keeping a supply of items that we need that's not here. And we keep warehouses here that are full, too. So that, I mean, there are a lot of tentacles that are connected to all of
this. Oh, yeah, when you have a big system like this. Now, recently, I had been working on a series of messages, and I never did talk to Todd about this. I know he was at one end, and I was working the program from another end, because the U.S. Department of Labor last week reported since 2000, they've been keeping records on this. 6.6 million jobs have gone unfilled in the United States. 6.6 million jobs, the highest since they kept records in 2000. You know what? You know that's abstract.
Right.
But you know the practical.
We know the practical very well. I mean, the reality of it is, Tom, there is not a company with which I'm friends in this country whose people aren't saying what I'm saying, and that is we have a hard time finding workers. We just have a hard time finding people that will come to work. And, you know, we automate as much as we can, and that's my fear. My fear for this country is we're all automating as much as we can, not because we want to get rid of people, but because we can't find people.
Right.
Now, what happens whenever all of those people, some of those people, decide to go to work and a lot of those jobs are gone? That's scary to me.
I understand this, too. And I hope anybody who's taken high school economics would understand the ramifications of this. So I was working on a message for Todd in relationship to our other radio stations on a reach-out program for specifically veterans. And what got me excited was that Todd presented me with this idea of, look, we will give a $1,000 bonus to a U.S. veteran that comes here and goes to work. And for every year he's gone on, he stays on another $1,000 as a bonus money. You know, and some people probably go say that again. You come to work at Timberline Fisheries, we give you a grand bonus,
$2,000
bonus,
right?
$2,000 bonus. And for each year you stay, you get another $1,000 based on the number of years that you were in the U.S. military, one of the arms of services.
Yeah. So you'll get, in addition to the $2,000 sign on at the end of 12 months, you'll get $1,000 for every year that you served. So if you serve 12 years, then for 12 years, you'll get an extra $1,000 just
paying you for each year. I get it.
Exactly.
Now. Great.
Yeah. Because we just, I don't know, Tom, I feel very strongly about what our veterans have done and are doing for us. Because I've told you before, whenever the decision came to whether or not to go in the military, the guy I was at that time was not ready for that.
Right.
I had to go be a moron in college for a little while to figure all that out. I certainly have a lot of friends who are veterans. I have a lot of friends that we work with a lot of organizations. We donate to a lot of organizations. You know, Wishes for Warriors, things like that, where right. I recognize what they've done for me, and I know they did it for little pay.
You and I are the same. You and I are basically the same thing. Kind of look back and wishing I should have gone to the Marines, right? And but you and I feel as a result an obligation.
Absolutely. These people have given, in many cases, they've given their lives. In many cases, they've given part of their bodies. In many cases, they've given part of their mind. But the reality of it is, we don't, I think, as a country, we don't show them enough gratitude. And that's why when this whole issue came up and we were talking about this program, everybody that was involved in helping us wanted to tell us that there are government monies available for this. And I kept saying, no, I don't think you understand. I want this to come from us.
Yes.
I don't want to take money out of the government. I mean, the government's got to get smaller, so let's stop spending the government's money, which is ours.
Well, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because somebody probably right now is saying, well, yeah, it's probably part of a government program, and you know, we're leveraging that, and that's fine. But no, that's not the case at all. This is all Timberline Fisheries from the top to bottom. How many people do you need?
By golly, I'll tell you what, I'd take about 10, 20 right now.
Yeah?
I really would. I have 8 temps that I had to call in this morning just for the purpose of...
Mike Shaluski sent me an email from over in Murfreesboro, and he says the Hardy sign has changed over here. It says from now hiring to always hiring.
It's unfortunate, but it's real.
It's real. You know, so you have this opportunity now. And, you know, the other thing is because there's a certain skill set.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And here's the thing. Our expectations aren't necessarily that high. You need to be here on time.
Right.
Right? You need to understand that there are live animals. I grew up on the farm, so, right? There's always, you know, the pheasants and chuckers always had to be fed every day and watered, and when it was hot, more often. There's an expectation there.
True
enough. So kind of you want somebody who takes ownership, I think.
Yeah.
And then you teach them the rest.
Right. But the reality, Tom, is we want the qualities that they come with, and that is they're honest, they're hardworking, they have great integrity. Those are the kind of people that we want to be part of our team, and that's what military people represent to us.
So going forward, what's next for you when it comes to growing? Have you got an expectation? Because here's the thing. I go out. Now, we kind of went through this exotic pet phase in the world, right? Everybody had to have a hedgehog, right?
Right.
But what I see is, and I see it at Petco.
Right.
Right. And I go and I look at the products. I'm that kind of weird guy. Says, oh, you know, they've got this new thing to carry reptiles in. There's that. It had a surge and then it left a high watermark. But that new high watermark represents a larger spread where people have non-traditional pets.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's reptiles and it's on the list goes. And the reptile list is long.
They fit our lifestyle very well, because if you have a dog at home, you do, and you understand he's got to go out to do his business and whatnot. You can actually leave a reptile at home for the weekend. Feed it this morning when you leave town, and when you come back Sunday night, it's just fine. So it's, and they're smaller. So it fits our small apartment, small house, or
and
office.
There's a mystique to it, too.
Of course there is.
There's a cool factor.
Of course there is.
It's
a new world, because, you know, you don't interact with a reptile the way you do a dog or a cat or anything else, but it doesn't make it any less interesting.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
My first pet, probably, second one, was a little lizard I found.
Yep.
And kept in its own little glass jar, and I went and got flies from it from Dixon Springs State Park, crawling
Absolutely.
Around a rock, and got a little lizard.
Absolutely.
And when he died, I wept.
Of course.
And that animal had never shown me any affection whatsoever.
Of course.
But it didn't stop me
right.
from building a bond with it at a very young age.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of because reptiles are cold-blooded, a lot of reptiles actually do like you to hold them because they love your warmth.
Right.
Just like they would to get on a warm rock outside. So there's a lot of interaction. Actually, the interaction with most reptiles is the feeding time. And so that's why we always
play an important role.
We're important in that, because when Billy comes home from school today, he wants to spend some time with his reptiles.
Yeah, and I've seen your product around. It's everywhere. How many different countries do you ship now? Do you know?
We ship pretty much anywhere anybody wants any, but we ship regularly to at least 7.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, can you name, throw a few out?
We send a lot to Canada, which isn't very far. Right. We actually send a lot to Puerto Rico, which isn't really another country, but we know how that works.
Right.
We do send to Germany some. We do send to other parts of Europe some. It's really, the international market is not something we're looking for, just mainly because we're shipping to our counterparts over there. Here in the United States, we're largely shipping direct to stores.
I see that.
Yep.
I see the difference now, and I had not picked up on that,
yep.
right? You're supplying other stores that supply, right?
So yeah.
Outside the U.S. You do the big shipment of, like
exactly.
I said, well, you said 2 semis went out yesterday.
Yep.
I have a hard time envisioning 2 semis of insects.
It was five, and yes, it is.
It,
is
it was five. All right, that doesn't help.
But I mean, it's you somewhere you can run across pictures of our shipping department, and you can get an understanding of how it's it fills and empties and fills and empties several times all in one heavy shipping day. And Thursday is a very heavy day.
Well, best of luck for you and the other 160 and all the people that work
appreciate
with you.
That.
This is one of the most exciting things that go on in Southern Illinois.
I appreciate that,
and I'm really privileged that you gave and shared this with us today because I know you're a busy guy.
It's all right.
I know, because
I like this place.
When I follow you around, man, you're always going someplace, another convention to show your wares.
I am.
And see, and there's a thing that attracts me to that. I really like guys that go out there, and men and women, doesn't make any difference, who say, this is mine, I'm proud of what I do, and I want to show you.
Absolutely.
Says something. And I think it says something to the customer, too.
Well, it should. I mean, I do know that our large customers, PetSmart, Petco, Pet Supplies Plus, all those, they recognize that we're not like the other guys. We really do have a different idea about how we should do it.
I think that comes from your dad and the Southern Illinois type of customer service, and the fact that we're pretty much nice to anybody until they're not nice to us.
Right, but we're also hard workers, which means that if you present something to us, our initial reaction is not like most places, and many times it is, oh, we don't do it that way here. Well, that's not our reaction. Our reaction to customers is, yeah, we'll do it. Let's just figure out a way to make it happen.
Right. Yep. So good to see you again, too.
Thank you, sir.
Really glad to see you doing well.
Thank you.
If somebody wants to learn more about this veterans program when it comes to hiring at Timberline Fisheries, how do they go about that?
You can go directly to our veterans coordinator at Timberline, or you can go through our website. I mean, there's a lot of ways to find us, for sure. Just come to our place.